got something going on.
Now we're good.
Okay.
I'll call this meeting to order. Thank all y'all for coming tonight, and I'd like to open this up in a word of prayer, and then we're going to get started. Father, we thank you today for this nice day that you blessed us with. Thank you for all the blessings that you give us here. And God, tonight I pray that everything that is done, everything is said, our conversations, our decisions would all be pleasing to you, God. I pray that as we move forward, you would continue to bless us and give us what we need to give the best education to everyone, to all the kids, everyone involved here, Father, and help us make this a really good work environment, Father, just to be a blessing to all. God, just be with us tonight, and thank you again for everything you give us in Christ's name. Amen.
The next thing on the agenda is, as y'all notice, we've got some science projects over here. I've been here for 20-something years, and this is the first time we've done it. And I walked through there. These are all fifth and sixth graders that did it. And I walked through that gym, and I tell you what, it was neat. I'm glad I wasn't one of the judges because it would have been tough to pick the winner. But these are the winners, and we've got some here that are going to present to y'all. We'll probably have to walk over there and so you can see and watch and everything. But y'all did a great job. We're very proud of y'all. I don't think I could have done some of that stuff. Y'all did a real good job. So who wants to go first? Ladies first? Is that how we good? Is that how we do it, Jennings? Ladies first? Okay. All right.
After the experiment, I found out that the thinner wire would spin faster, and that the thicker wire would spin slower. And if you leave them on there for long enough, the battery will just die.
Basically, what I did is I had them
snow up here, and I took some food dye, and you put a couple of drops near the middle of the color.
Y'all can just read.
I'm going to do this, and if you want to watch it, it's okay.
It worked a long time ago. Helped him with the wiring, it gets some sound in the writer, took some time.
And so now that I have some food dye, we will, I have just showed them this one, please, you can't see it, but I'll just like add in, this up in dish soap. And what I do is I do this. And it does this. And it does this because the atoms in the dish soap don't want the atoms in the milk, so they separate. And it does this. My conclusion is yes, the amount of drops of soap that we add have just the same story in the way we react to soap. Because my hypothesis was the more soap, the more swirl, I was correct because this was one drop of dish soap, it kind of did that. This was two, and this was three. But if you wanted better, because this was what it ended up being.
Cool. Very good.
This is my electrical water bridge. In my experiment, I filled two beakers with distilled water and placed them spout to spout. Then I have an AC to DC adapter which amplifies, three to six volts in electricity to a transformer which then transforms it to 50,000 volts. No, we'll just stop talking now. But first experiment was a failure because we only used a 20,000 volt transformer and it started smoking and stopped. I have two beakers in this experiment, a distilled water, AC to DC adapter, 20,000 volt transformer, and a 50,000 volt transformer, wires, alligator clips, wire connectors, and electrical tape. And I have a video.
Oh.
That's him turning on the AC to DC adapter. And then the paper towel that we use to separate it to the ketchup.
He thought that it would be triple antibiotic, and I told him that's what I would pick too. We always use triple antibiotic. Anyway, but he found that it was, in fact, Bactine. Did the best.
Thank you guys for coming. Y'all did so awesome.
Yes,
I got a picture.
So good.
We can pick up boards.
They're pretty brave to present too.
I did a good job.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
They did real good.
It was neat the day of the.
Did they present? Did each person present that day?
If you were walking around, they would, okay. They were all so eager to like tell you and know about it, and they were so excited, and some of them were sweating bullets to have to talk to the judges, but they were pretty neat. Yep.
Okay, at this time we'll have our public hearing on our. I always call it the tarp. It's throwing, calls it the tap. This is our Texas Academic Performance Report. By law, we have to have a public hearing over this, so I will turn it over to her.
If you notice on the cover, we were, our accountability score was paid again this year, so we were proud of that. These are last year's STAR scores that we've already presented to you guys, so this is kind of old news, but they compile it in this pretty report that compares last year's data to this year's data. I'm not going to go line by line and read every number to you.
There's some over there if y'all want to see.
It just kind of breaks it down per grade level, per subject, but if you'll go about halfway through, it breaks it down all subjects, all grade levels, and from last year to this year, our percentages were very consistent, which I was really happy about. We were exceptionally higher than the region and state in almost every category, so that's another thing that we really aim for. Our lowest scores were in 7th and 8th grade math last year, but we are well aware of that and working on that. Ms. Enns is working really hard with those kids, and she's identified everything that they need to do to get back up to where we like our scores to be, so we're working on that. It has all of our like graduation rate in there at the end. It has how many kids participated in the test. It has it broke down by subpopulation. So there's a lot of information in here, but overall I was super pleased, especially with the A rating this year, and it's just a testament to how hard our teachers work and how hard our kids work to strive to meet those expectations. But if anybody has any specific questions, I'm happy to answer those.
Y'all did a great job.
Very good.
It's wonderful. Maybe a year or two ago, they weren't going to tell our results.
They withheld them for 3 years, mm-hmm. as far as an overall accountability rating. Like, we still got percentage scores, but we didn't get our A, B, C. But they released all of those, and we had all A's from all the backdated that were tied up in the Supreme Court.
Okay. So even backdated, we were still.
I think 2023,
2022, 23, and 24. Moving forward, what changes do you see in the new testing?
Well, one of the, they haven't changed the test. It's still online.
Still the same.
We're still taking STAR. But one change next year is our seventh grade advanced math kiddos will take the eighth grade STAR test.
Oh.
They completely skip the seventh grade STAR test.
Really?
So they will take the eighth grade. This is the first year we've had specific TEKS for them too. We did have advanced maths last year, but TEA didn't release TEKS till this year. So we will, they'll take that eighth grade STAR.
Okay.
So that's one big change that we'll see.
Why would they do that?
Well, that's the law that we have to divide on into advanced and regular math based on their fifth grade math STAR score. So we started that and we've just kind of phased. So this is the first time that they're going to skip a STAR test and take the grade above. And then next year's eighth graders, they'll take Algebra 1 and take the Algebra 1 EOC for high school credit. So then as freshmen, they'll take geometry. Sophomores, Algebra 2. Juniors will take pre-calc. Seniors will have to add an advanced math course that we don't currently have offered. So. So we have two sections in all of our junior high math.
Jump through hoops and then they move the hoops.
What is the continuously enrolled versus non-continuously enrolled? Like on the, it's a column.
What page or?
Or I mean, it'd be that.
Oh, all of them have that?
It's the top
just didn't
and the
know,
blue.
I just didn't know what that would.
It's not continuously enrolled.
Okay. I would think they'd all be continuously enrolled.
And I think at our school
yeah,
district,
they
are.
Okay,
some
I just was.
Some of those
was,
other school
yeah.
districts, I'm sure
yeah,
there's
I
some
think
that
that's
are.
Why those are cut just, and dried percentages. Some schools still offer like online only.
Gotcha.
And, like,
okay.
Hybrid and,
well, I just was I like,
so.
Kind of weird.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Ms. Carlinger. Along those same lines about that seventh grade group that's going to be taking that advanced test, one thing to consider was when we get those results back, because of all those advanced kids that are typically our, you know, higher achieving kids. They're not taking that seventh grade test anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be all of our lower kids taking that seventh grade test. So that could drastically reduce the amount of like
those, our advanced scores mm-hmm. will look really great.
Yes.
Approaches.
Those
our eighth grade
test lower.
Would be great, but our seventh grade test, our masters might lower a little and we might just
yeah.
be more.
Yeah. But it'll just be reflective
yes.
of the kids that are in that class.
Yes, but
so.
that could be a change that yeah. you see at the end of this year.
And when you, that's a good point. And when you look at these like year-to-year determinations, you have to remember too, it's different classes taking those tests. So, you know, you have to take into account maybe that class is smaller, so when one kid doesn't pass it, that percentage looks very different than the next year that has 28 kids in the class and one kid doesn't pass. So those are all good things to look at, but still good data for us to use to inform our instruction.
Any other questions, comments?
Great job.
All the teachers.
Good job.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
Good job. Good job. Okay, let's review the minutes of the previous meeting. And we'll need a motion and a second to approve those. Well, you made the motion, Justin seconded it. All in favor? None opposed, really. And let's review the bills.
fall Spanish courses aren't cheap, are they?
What's that?
The fall Spanish courses aren't cheap.
Mm-hmm. That was Spanish 1, 2, and
3. Or, yeah, I guess I didn't know that many, but.
Yeah.
But it was a good day because it was only $14 for the Grinch Day supplies.
Somebody had to break into a car.
Yes.
Yeah, who locked itself in or out?
Our transportation director.
That's pretty fantastic.
We did give him a pop-a-lock.
I know, he needs his own little.
Get his own pop-a-lock from Amazon.
Still cheaper in the window.
Yep.
Yeah, he's only there for like 5 minutes. It was old. Tommy.
Uh-huh.
Only there for like 5 minutes. And, you know, I thought maybe $20, $30. And when we got the bill, I was like, I know what I'm going to do when I retire. I'm going to go.
Mm-hmm.
He's been to our house before.
Cheaper than the $300 key I had to get whenever I did that my pickup.
I'll make a motion to pay the bills.
You got a motion to pay the bills. Cody made the motion. Kyle seconded it. All in favor? None opposed.
Is it possible on those Visa credit cards? I guess they're passed around to multiple people. Mm-hmm. I guess throughout the school. Could we see itemized receipts of those, or is that pretty difficult?
I mean, when the statement comes in, it shows like on each card what they have. Right. Yes. I mean, I can make copies of those or
okay.
Just give them to him for email.
So like on that first one, I guess that's
the way it's set Allison. Up in the system now. I think the way it used to be, you could see what each card, like each charge, but now the way we set it up, and it's we reconcile through the credit card system, mm-hmm. and it groups it all into one. But okay. On the statement, it does have them all itemized, okay. And you can see.
But they're not like that. First one is Ms. Allison. She's not the only one that uses that card.
Well, usually her and Ms. Couts use that one.
Okay.
Typically, mm-hmm. and nobody else, but like Mr. McLaren's will get passed around, mine gets passed okay. around, Dalton's.
Like my
it's usually
is
athletics, used, but it does get passed around a
most
little.
Most of the coaches
right.
need uh-huh. a card, I'll just give them mine.
And Danielle's okay. gets passed around. And, awesome. And Roberts gets passed around.
Okay.
So really, McKenzie's is more for FFA and his is more athletics, but everybody else's is kind of.
Okay.
Who needs one?
Yes, who needs one that day. Good to know.
Well, that on page 6, it does show what.
Yes, but I think he's meaning like what each charged on
each one. Each one of them.
I mean, for example, we had how many people just went to the conference this last week?
Yeah,
8. Mm-hmm. And they took probably 2 or 3 cards
right.
with them.
Do any of y'all have anything y'all would like to say or sing a song or anything like that?
You don't want me to.
All right, then I guess we'll go to board actions. The first thing, I was asked to put this on the agenda. Our March board meeting right now is for March the 9th, and that's mm-hmm. when Houston Stock Show starts. The week after that is spring break. My recommendation is to do March the 5th, which is
Thursday
the before. Week before, which
on Thursday.
Is in Thursday.
I can make any of that. What I mean that week out.
Is that fine with everybody?
Works with
Kyle,
me.
That will be a junior high track meet on the 5th. So.
On the 5th?
I mean, we could go.
Is there
the 3rd.
Junior high anything
second,
Tuesday?
Third?
No, there won't be anything on that Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, I hadn't added the track schedule to this deal, so Mr. McLaren probably didn't.
Yeah, I didn't have that. We could go to the 3rd, which is Tuesday.
That's fine. I mean,
it's your trial day.
I thought the 2nd was.
The third.
The third.
Oh, is it the third?
So some of us could be up here late.
Whatever.
Third's good.
Either one works for me, so.
Let's do the third then.
March 3rd.
Make that, do we need to make a motion or?
Yes.
I'll make that motion.
Is it okay if I don't have financial stuff to you when you have to post the agenda?
Right.
But I will have it before the meeting?
That'd be.
Is that okay?
What I usually do when that happens is I'll send you your packets out and everything. And then when she gets the bills and everything, then I'll send them to you.
Cause this one was also a rush, cause I realized come Monday morning, interest didn't get put on the cash receipts. Cause I can't post it until after, and so interest isn't on there, sorry.
So when you get your packet, it may not have the bills and everything in it, but I'll send them as soon as she gets them done.
You said March 3rd?
Okay, Justin made the motion to move that board meeting to March 3rd. Kyle seconded, is all in favor? None opposed.
Okay, the next is the 26-27 school calendar. I sent y'all out one at the first, and then I had to send another one out because we got our realignment sent, which we'll discuss that, well, I guess we could kind of discuss that now. But the problem with the first calendar is our realignments in basketball. We went from, what, six schools?
We're currently in a 16 basketball district, and the UIL threw us into an 18 basketball district. So now, by UIL rule, we have to play 14 district basketball games.
Wow.
And obviously, with only being able to play two per week, that starts to push that district start date, I mean, back in a hurry. The first calendar, we haven't had that meeting, we'll have that meeting Monday. The first calendar they sent out had a starting district basketball on December 15th, but that also means that we have to play a district basketball game on December 27th. And I wished to the rest of the schools that I didn't feel like our kids needed to be playing a district basketball game 3 days before Christmas Day, but we'll see what happens at that meeting. But the absolute latest that we will start district basketball will be December 15th. The latest. We could start as early as December 1st, which...
And that's what we're shooting for.
So move that off of the 15th, or I mean, off of the 26th.
My suggestion was to push the start date back or even farther up the week, so we can start on the 8th to remove that play date from the 22nd. That way our kids can have a Christmas break. I mean, that, I just felt like 3 days before Christmas.
That's a little close.
Have you talked to some of the other districts, and they're trying to shoot the same way that have 18?
Well, the issue is, the UIL states that if we want to start before the 15th, you have to have unanimous district approval. Well, Borden County hosts their tournament on December 11th and 12th. And we were told that they are going to be a hard no because they want to host that tournament. So then I suggested, well, why don't we start on the 8th and not play a district basketball game on that weekend, and so just essentially move the basketball game from the 22nd of December to the 8th. So then we would start on that Tuesday, leave that Friday open for anybody to go compete in tournaments, and then play on the 15th and the 18th and not the 22nd. And you know, obviously I asked Coach Jordan, because he's been in a 10-team basketball district before, and so he agreed that, especially for districts that have volleyball, I mean, you're talking volleyball could potentially play until the third week in November. Well, if we start district that early in December and don't have those tournaments, our girls are going to be hurting for games because they're not going to get to play in any tournaments. So if I had to guess, I think the rest of the district would be open to starting on December 8th but leaving the 11th open for tournaments. And so then our district games would be the 8th, the 15th, and the 18th, and then our district would release for Christmas break, and we wouldn't play another district basketball game again until January 5th when we came back. Mm-hmm. But part of that was, and I know, I mean, Mr. McLaren brought it up during the calendar, just because whenever I found that out on Monday at realignment, I went and we originally, on that original calendar, were supposed to release for Christmas on the 11th. Well, us having district games that next week compiled with, we had some elementary teachers that had voiced that they thought it'd be nice if we could have 2 full weeks of instruction in December and then come an extra couple of days that next week so they can have, then they can do the Christmas parties and the program. That way we get 2 full weeks of class, come back that next week and have 2 days of school at regular time. That way they can do all that stuff and they're not losing instruction. And so, plus, I mean, December 11th is, it's pretty early to let out for Christmas break. Yeah. Everyone that I talked to at the service center, no one was going to release that early. And so it was going to be hard for us to try to adjust that calendar. I didn't want our kids playing a basketball game on the 22nd of December personally. I just feel like that's way too close to Christmas, and those kids need to be with their families.
With the alignment the way it is, are they still doing Division I, Division II?
They will after your teams qualify. They'll still take 4. So now, I mean, we'll be in an 8-team district. Half of the teams will qualify, half the teams won't, and then it'll still go by enrollment. But, I mean, now that's just another headache because us in Borden County turned in the exact same number. So now we're going to have to figure out what the UIL tells us to do on which one of us is big and which one of us is small if we have the same number of kids. I was told that it won't come down to a flip. It'll come down to next year's snapshot numbers, and then whoever has the most kids at that next, the last Friday of next October will be the big school and the other one will be small. If for some reason that's a tie, then we can either flip or play for it, and then whoever wins gets to choose if they want to go big or small. And with NAS going big school or small school, most of the time they'll probably just, everyone will just say, we'll go play with the big schools. But after Mr. McLaren reworked the calendar, we actually do have like 400 extra minutes. We actually even coming to school, those extra 2 days, we moved those 2 days into October. You'll see on the 2nd and the 5th, that Friday and Monday, to try to have a kind of a fall, if you want to call it fall break, it's just a 4-day weekend. But that's, we won't have any extracurriculars that week. And so then school will end on that Thursday and we'll just come back that next Tuesday. So we just took those days in December, put them in October, and then since we took the half day away on the 11th, we actually ended up with 400 extra minutes on the calendar as well.
200 extra.
Will the bell schedule stay the same? Like the length of the day, I guess.
Oh, yeah, everything's going to stay the same.
Yeah, we're just coming to school those 2 days, the third week of December, instead of already being on Christmas break.
I have
anything else?
I have one concern that I'd like clarified. I like this calendar. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but I'm still a little confused at how we are getting to the 475 minutes a day. Using our published bell schedules, 8:34 to 3:40 for elementary and 8:34 to 3:50 for high school, that's 436 minutes. Danielle, when we did the 4-day, we're talking about the 4-day week, mentioned that if we move tutorials to the middle of the day, then we could count those tutorial minutes towards our total minute count.
We get to count tutorial minutes toward our minute count anyway.
How does that work?
That's just the rule.
Well, everything I've seen and read and researched, because I raised these concerns last year, and everything, I've not found anything that says that we can count those tutorial minutes as minutes if they're optional and not mandatory.
Well, see, we
that's coming from the service
center. Yeah, I was going to say, it comes from the service center told us we
could. I'm not trying to be combative here.
Oh, I'm not either. I'm just letting you know that's how we got.
All I would like to do is either pass this contingent on, I'd like to see documentation showing that we are compliant. I don't want to get into any compliance issues. So pass it contingent on that or table it until those, till we get the documentation. If everything's good and on the up and up, I'm great with this schedule. I really like it. I'm not trying to be, this generally concerns me because it is a
if we are not compliant and we get audited, it could be, have real implications.
I will get that for you.
I appreciate that, look, and so.
Manuela might have something.
I was going to say, I think she probably does.
Over tomorrow, yeah.
I've had a couple of admins ask me from other districts, asking me how we reach the minutes too, based on that. Because they've been told that you cannot use tutorials if it's not, if every kid's not there.
Well, the service center told us we could, and that's what we're going.
But our tutorials are mandatory for any kid that doesn't have a 75 or above.
But I think it's worded, it has to be the majority of the students is the way I've been told that it's explained, is the majority of students have to be in the school.
So there's 17 schools.
Like I said, if everything's on the up and up, I like the schedule. I just would like to see the compliance.
If y'all want to table it, that's fine, and I'll get the stuff.
Is everybody good with that?
I'm fine with it.
Well, I'll make the.
There's not a hurry.
We got plenty of time.
Oh, yeah, we got plenty of time.
So I'll move that we table the 26-27 school calendar till the board receives written documentation demonstrating compliance with the minute requirement using the district's actual published bell schedule.
I'll second that.
Got a motion and a second to table calendar. All in favor? No opposed.
Thank you.
Okay, the next thing is a resolution regarding a prayer and reading of religious texts during the school day in accordance with Senate Bill 11. I called our attorney, which I didn't get to talk to David, but I talked to Ron Garcia, which he works at Underwood Law Firm, and about this. And this is just a bill that got passed stating that schools needed to have a period during the day for children, for students to be able to pray or read the Bible, the Quran, whatever, during the day. He told me that 97% to 98% of the school districts in the state of Texas are not doing this. Because you have to make a period during the day for those kids to do it. And we're already teaching everything we can that the state wants us to teach during the school day.
Oh, so it's like a long period, not just
It's not just, because I said, so could we
not
just
a
say...
5 minute period or...
Could we just say you can go in the auditorium before school or after school? He goes, no, it says it's got to be a period. And so, and we already have a religious prayer. I mean, we do the moment of silence during the announcements. You know, if a kid has a free time in class, you know, like 5-10 minutes before class is over with, and they want to pull a Bible out and read it, we don't stop them. So he said to justify, he says, because there's some school districts that are just saying, we're not going to do anything. You know, we're not going to do it. Even though it's a state law, we're not going to do it. Well, he's saying that there's going to be some group that comes out, because this is supposed to be done before March 1st. Some group is going to come out and they're going to start hitting these people, you know, Public Information Act, and they're going to be saying, we need proof that your board voted not to have a policy for this, or voted to have a policy for it. And then those that didn't do it are going to be, I don't know what's going to happen to them, that didn't do anything. He says, so we're telling our school district that our recommendation is to do this resolution, and there's a copy of the resolution in your packet. And back here in the back, it has all your names listed, and whether you voted yea, nay, abstain, or you were absent. This is proof that when that group calls us and wants proof of it, then all I have to do is send them this, and they can't do anything. Does that make sense?
So what is your recommendation?
My recommendation is not to...
It's to disapprove it.
To not adopt a policy.
Because if you did, you'd have to modify your daily
schedule. Exactly.
Your whole schedule.
Yeah. Right.
For a what, 50 minute, are they 50 minute period, or how long are the periods? Is
they're 45.
45.
So it had to be the same length of time?
Yes. From what I understand listening to Ron.
But this doesn't keep us from doing the stuff at the beginning of the day? What you
no, mean? No, no, no.
Okay.
No.
We just don't have Bob
we
class.
Just don't, we just don't have to.
Or Korean.
You have to have a
period
class.
For it.
Okay. You said there's no repercussion if you don't do it?
According to him, well, he said that if you didn't, if your board didn't take some type of action.
You could.
It's a state law. Mm-hmm. You could get in trouble. And I said, what kind of trouble? He said, I have no idea.
So as long as we do this, nothing can happen.
Exactly.
No, fair enough.
Yeah, so we're just not going to adopt this.
Right? Absolutely.
So we're going to disapprove it.
That's what, right. That's my recommendation. Okay.
So somebody would need so to make a recommendation not
to
not
make a motion to not accept this.
Kyle did.
Kyle made the motion.
Well, Kelly will second Kelly. It.
Wait,
yes, I will.
Just to be clear, he made the motion to not accept it, so we need to vote yay? I don't want to make sure I set this up.
I make the motion
okay,
to
wait,
say
no. Wait.
Hold on. How's it on your minutes?
It says the Klondike Independent School District shall adopt a policy requiring every campus of the Klondike Independent School District to provide a period of prayer and reading of the Bible or other religious texts as provided by Section 25.8
Education Code. I think we make the motion to approve this and then vote it down instead of
making
a motion.
Would y'all like to know what it says here on my minutes?
That's the minutes that Ron gave me.
To approve or disapprove. So Kyle, when you made your motion, was it to disapprove?
We're going to disapprove.
To disapprove.
It was to disapprove.
And your second
I seconded
was to
it was to disapprove.
So okay. We need to vote yay
all
on
in
dis-
favor of disapproving this resolution.
Okay.
We agreed to disapprove.
That was special.
That was, that's lawyers.
Yeah.
And the language.
Never fails.
Okay, and there are no resignations at this time. So next is the principal's contract. And I think we need to go to closed session for that.
Okay. And then I should step out.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just say something for you?
Yes, you sure can.
I just want to say to all of you that I am committed to our school. And trying to be the best principal that I can be for our school. And I know that not all of us will ever or have ever agreed on everything personally or professionally. But I still want to genuinely have a good working relationship with the board. And when I came here, when I got hired here, I came here to retire. And I still am committed to that. So I just want our school to be the best. I want to be the best principal. And Mr. McLaren will tell you, like, I feel like I'm doing the best I can every day. If I'm not, it's just because I don't know that I need to do something differently. So I just ask that, you know, with open and honest communication, I think we can resolve those issues. I'm open to new ideas. Just like y'all gave me a list of things you wanted me to improve on last year, I feel like I addressed all of those. So if there's things this year, I'm happy to address those too. But I just wanted to say that before y'all go into closed session. So, and it's the honor of my life to serve here. So, thank you for allowing that so far.
Thank you all.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Pause.